night. You got to like that. Make sure you volunteer for that for Wednesday night. You can always make an impact on kids' lives. How's your week been? Mine has been awesome. I found out this week, this lady called me from Ohio and told me that my student loan had been paid off. And all she wanted was my credit card and my bank account, and she'd take care of it. I cannot believe that after all these years, it got paid off, and I know Uncle Sam's going to be fine for that. Well, I hope you're doing well. I hope you're excited. John told you guys that my reception is going to be July the 8th. I don't want you to miss it. It's going to be August the 8th. But he's an educator. All right. I am thrilled to be here. I want to say this. I had a young man ask me back in the back between services, had I enjoyed being here? And I wanted to say this publicly. This has been one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had. I've never had so many people be so gracious to me. And I want to thank you for that. I really, really do. And I will be here two more Sundays, and then I'll be back. I'm like MacArthur. I'll come back because I really like you guys. You're good folks. And what a great church you have, and God's blessed us so richly. Okay, open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. If I like characters in the Bible, and as a boy, I grew up listening to all these stories, and I really like Daniel. I like him for a lot of reasons. Both the prophecies in it and the life he lived and all of that. But one of my favorite characters in the world, some of my favorite characters in the world are found in the book of Daniel. So if you'll open your Bibles to chapter 1, I want to introduce you to three very unusual guys. And I promise you, you got to like them. If you remember last week, I told you you had to like it. An old man who's saying you got to, I won't do it my way, try to take things in his own hands, end up being run out of Egypt, found himself on the far side of the desert, married to a woman named Zipporah, keeping sheep, and then he had a bush catch on fire, and then he decided that he would be obedient to God and begin to do what God wanted him to do, and became a prophet that raced across five different world religions. Moses. Well, that was an old guy. This week is for you young guys. It's for you young folk. And we're going to talk about these guys, and you got to like them. You got to like guys who are bold enough to make a stand in tough situations and to trust God when there's not much else to trust. So just follow along with me. In the first chapter of Daniel, there is a description of who these people were. It's kind of like a mama describing their only son. The king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of the officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal families, youth in whom was no defect, who were good-looking. And we got Robert Redford kind of people. Showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability in serving the king's court. And he ordered them to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought by Daniel to be taught there in the palace. Things were doing pretty good. Until some folks who got jealous of these boys, who, by the way, they got a hold of a keto diet and they ate vegetables and became better. Are you with me? The keto diet. They ate vegetables and became better than the folks who were eating those king's fancy deals. If you read the scripture close, you'll find out these were southern boys because they ate vegetables. I just made that up. I don't know if they're southern or not, but it does say they ate vegetables, and they ate vegetables. Well, the Chaldeans, who were jealous of them, went to the king Nebuchadnezzar and said, look, you ought to make a God that you worship and make everybody bow down to that God. This is a Cliff Notes version of this. And they made a God that was about 9 feet tall. And then they waited, because they knew how consistent these guys would be, waited for them to make a mistake. And they did. They didn't bow down to the idol, and so the punishment for that was to be thrown into the fiery furnace, much like Daniel would be thrown in the lion's den later. But look at the third chapter in verse 14 through 15. Well, really, you got to go back and get 12. There are certain Jews whom you've appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you, and they do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up?" Gotta like this. "If you're ready at the moment, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, and fall down and worship the image that I've made, that'll be good. But if you don't worship, I will cast you into the blazing fire. What God is there that can deliver you out of my hands?" The story gets great. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hands, O king." Here's the best line in the whole thing. Circle this verse. Speaking to teenagers, tell them what it means to take a stand. You got to like it, what they say. Even if he doesn't deliver us, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And the story gets hot from here. We'll talk about it in just a minute. Before we talk about that story, let's talk to God. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me? God, we show up on Sunday morning knowing full well that for some of us, this is the first time to even talk to you. We've been busy doing stuff that we hadn't thought about you till now, but please come visit us in spite of ourselves and teach us. Father, there are so many things that are like the fiery furnace in our life. It can be sickness, it can be failure, it could be a lot of things, and sometimes we need to be delivered, and we try to deliver ourselves. How dumb can you get? So this morning, we're going to study these characters, and we're going to figure out what we need to do to be as bold as they were. We want to leave here, Father, different than when we came. Father, we'll hear a lot of noise, but of all the noises we hear, may we hear the quiet shuffling of sandal feet. Would you teach us? Teach us to be your people. In Christ's name, amen. You gotta like it. I mean, you gotta like the fact that these guys rebel against the terrible worldly mindset of Nebuchadnezzar and strike out on their own, trusting God. You gotta like that. And I would suggest to you that if we could learn from them how they decided to do that, maybe we could do it as well. Now, most of you know by now that I love movies. I'm not recommending the movie I'm fixing to talk about. I'm just telling you I liked it. It's called Clear and Present Danger, the Jack Clancy movie about Jack Ryan, a CIA agent, whom the President of the United States assigned to go to South America and fight drugs. Now, Ryan thought he could go there and fight it legally. But he had a partner named Ritter who was a covert military guy. He wanted to make money for himself. And he started a movement behind Ryan's back. By the time Ryan finds out about it, there are a lot of bombs that exploded and a lot of people had died. After almost getting killed himself, he winds up in the Oval Office with the president. A nasty cut over his eye, confronting the president about his involvement in that scandal. The president denied it first. Ryan said, "That's not true. You were involved. And I'm going to report to the Senate Oversight Committee, and I'm going to tell them what you've done." The president goes slack. And the exchange between him and the president is quite interesting. The president grins and he says, "You're not going to do that, Jack. You got yourself a chip in the big game now. You're going to tuck that away. You're going to save that for a time when your own life is on the line, and you're going to pull it out, and I'm going to cash it in for you." Ryan says, "I am." And then the president says, and I love this, "The country can't afford another deception that goes all the way to the top," the president says. "You'll take the blame, and you'll be punished. But it won't amount to much. A slap on the wrist, you know, Jack. It's called the old Potomac two-step." And then Ryan's response is much like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Potomac two-step? "I'm sorry, Mr. President, but I don't dance." I love that. You gotta like that. Staring the guy down. You gotta like his boldness. There is a reality, I believe, that like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you have to decide to serve him. There has to be a reality that you're not gonna dance to the tune the world plays. Now listen close to me. When you decide to follow Christ, when you commit your life to him, that's the beginning of running a race to make you more like Jesus. You began to pursue holiness. The Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, the fruit of the Spirit, all that stuff that's in the New Testament is about what you and I must stay in the process of learning about. We can't do business as usual. We got to follow the commands of Jesus and stay with them till the end, regardless of what happens. We can't dance. That's why this remarkable story in Daniel fascinates me. You gotta like these guys who decided not to dance. Jack Ryan made up his mind to serve the truth regardless of the circumstances. And the movie ends with him testifying before that Senate committee. That mindset that does what's right and pays no attention to the world's demands. These young men, without blemish, decided to be strong. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say to King Nebuchadnezzar, "We don't dance." I honestly believe for those of us who choose to follow Jesus, there's a harsh reality you need to deal with, because you'll have to choose between idols and fiery furnaces. If you find yourself there today, remember there are two gods in the story. One is what the world says, and the other is what God says. We must make up our mind to do as we are told. If you find yourself there today, if you find yourself wrestling in this world with what the world tries to get you to be and do, and what God wants you to do, you know the struggle that you found yourself in. And you got to ask yourself, how do I do that? How do I get where they were? All right, three quick points. Listen closely. Following Jesus demands a choice daily. You won't just choose one time. You'll choose a bunch of times. And when bad things happen in your life, you may have to choose between trusting God and dealing with your circumstances. God is above your circumstances. I told you way back when I started this interim, I remember for years standing at the back door and shaking hands with people, and I would shake hands with them, and these people would come to the back door, and these sweet ladies would take my hand, and I'd say, how are you doing? And they'd say, well, under the circumstances. And then I would lean down and get in their face and say, let me tell you something. God doesn't want you under your circumstances. He wants you on top of them. And you only do that when you decide to follow Him. I'm not a real baseball fan. I never really cared for baseball. It seems to me like it's watching paint dry when you watch it. But I do watch it sometimes when I have nothing else to do. It's good to fall asleep to, you know. But let me tell you something. I have a hero who's a baseball player. He was a second baseman for the New York Yankees. His name was Bobby Richardson. He was nominated as most valuable player of the American League 9 times. He played in 7 All-Star games. He won 5 Gold Glove Awards. And he's the only man in baseball history to ever win the World Series Most Valuable Player Award while playing on the losing team. I got to know Bobby pretty well in the last years of his life. He coached up at Liberty University in baseball and became very actively in Fellowship of Christian Athletes, sharing his testimony. And the first time I ever heard him speak, I was so excited because I grew up a Yankee fan, and I was thrilled to be with Bobby Richardson. And during a speech he gave at an FCA rally, I heard him close by saying this: dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. Bobby had made his choice early on that he was going to do the will of God. Whatever came his way, he was going to be faithful. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. If you do that, it puts you in a position to tell the world who you serve. If you are different by the way you look, the way you behave, folks will get to know God. I heard a story one time about Art Linkletter's interviewing kids in one of that show on television, and some of y'all are not old enough to know this, but he used to have a show called Kids Say the Darndest Things. And he asked this little boy who was holding a drawing, what in the world are you drawing? He said, well, I'm drawing a picture of God. And Linkletter, kind of amused by that, said, you can't do that because nobody knows what God looks like. And the little kid said, well, it will when I get through with this picture. You do know that, don't you? You do know that when you claim to know Jesus, the world gets a picture of Jesus by your behavior, by what you do. Your integrity, your honesty, your character all depict Jesus. But you have to choose that every day of your life. Secondly, if you choose that, there is no promise that you won't get a fiery furnace out of it or other struggles. In fact, the scripture seems to be completely opposite of that. When you decide to do what is right, you've heard me say this before and I'll say it again, you have to remember that the cross was not the most popular citizenship award given out by the Jerusalem Chamber of Commerce. When Jesus came to live his life, they had to kill him. You need to hear me. Following Jesus and doing what's right will not make you popular. People are not going to always applaud you when you do that. Therefore, Paul wrote, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his perfect will. In the fourth chapter of James, you read these amazing words. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Don't you hear that? I want you to know that if you choose to follow Christ, you will choose what the opposite of the world says. Some of you are going to college this year or back to school, and I want to tell you that you'll get a lot of chances in the next 4 months to make choices about behavior, about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And the world won't always cheer you when you decide not to do what they're going to do. The reality is, you have to choose, and you may not always be popular doing it. If you follow the world, you become an enemy of God. If you're in business, sometimes you have to make choices that are not popular with the folks there. But you must choose. And you must choose every day. There's a third thing, and we'll be through. Remember, you have to make the choice every day. Remember that if you choose to follow him every day, you'll deal with struggles every day. But the third thing I want to say to you is, if you do choose and you find yourself in a fiery furnace, you won't be by yourself. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd bet you $5 that this week some of us may encounter a setback. You may find out that you've got a medical test that's not good. You may find out that your mama's not doing as well as you thought she'd be doing, and you got to make a decision about where she's going to live and who's going to take care of her. I promise you, you'll be in a fiery furnace before this week's over. There'll be something happen that will eat your lunch if you're not careful. I don't know about you, but when I sit down with a doctor, and I've learned this, by the way, if you're on Medicare, they got a list of tests they can give you so they can make money. And so every time they find your blood pressure too high, or you lose your balance, or you fall down, you'll get a test. Don't get a CAT scan, none of that. Or an MRI. And before you know it, you'll be in the fiery furnace. They'll pull those. Well, first of all, they won't call you back for a week. Now, can I get an amen on that? I mean, you get those tests done, you're about to die. You're stressed out beyond words, and they won't even call you back. I love to call and have the nurse say to me, well, we meant to call you. Well, I meant to pay my bill. I ain't going to do that. But you're going to be in a fire furnace this week, but you're not going to be by yourself. And most of you know I'm very close to Bobby Bowden. And of course, it was announced this week that he's fighting a terminal illness. And what threw all the sportscasters off was what Bobby said about that. He said, I am prepared. I am prepared for this. Bobby is in a fire furnace, but he's not by himself. The great leaders of our culture, the Statler brothers, sing this song. There's a story from the good book we all know, a story about a miracle that happened long ago. We hope you'll take courage when temptation you meet. There's somebody watching you who's strong when you're weak. They wouldn't bend. They held on to the will of God, so we're told. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bow their knees to the idol made of gold. They wouldn't burn. They were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't burn. Prophet Daniel tells about these three men who walked with God. Before the wicked king they stood, and the king commanded they be bound and thrown into the fire furnace that day. The fire was so hot that the men were slain, it forced them on their way. But when the three were kept in the inn and the king rose up to witness this awful fate, he began to tremble at what he saw. And in astonished tones he spake. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of a fire? For lo, I see four men unhurt, unbound, and walking down there. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery coals they trod. And the form of a fourth man that I see that looks like the Son of God. I don't know what you got coming this week, but you don't have to do it by yourself. I don't know what life's going to hand you. I can't promise you how it's going to all come out. But you'll not do it by yourself. That's what this book says. And this book never lies.